tonight. I have a lot of things, you know, that I've been praying about in our prayer meetings, and the thing that keeps coming back to my mind is pray for an awakening. Pray for an awakening in our country, in our land, and how desperately we need that to take place. People that their minds and their hearts are darkened, and they are blinded by sin. 2 Corinthians 4:4. I'm going to read in the book of Acts here in just a minute, but 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "In whom the God of this world," now that's Satan. That's Satan. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." That's what Satan does, is he blinds your thinking. He blinds your mind. And that's what he does, and that's really the reason why we're in the condition we're in our nation right now. It's people that have turned away from God and removed God, and so as a result, we have a nation that has been spiritually blinded to the truth. Blinded to the truth. "Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," who is the image of God, "should shine unto them." Now, you know, we can talk to people about the Lord, and America has had a lot of exposure to the gospel, but when you're spiritually blinded, you're not going to hear it, and you're not going to see it, you're not going to comprehend it, because the enemy has blinded your minds. And so I've been praying, Lord, we need an awakening. We need an awakening in our nation so that they will see it. They'll get it. They'll understand it. They'll comprehend the truth. Now, I don't know of anyone that was any more determined, zealous against the gospel than Saul was, who became Paul. He was the enemy of the church. He was the enemy of the gospel. And he believed what he was doing was right. He was convinced that his work was a work of God. That he was stamping out the gospel. He thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was. He was convinced of that. That's what gave him such zeal. That's what gave him such determination to do what he did. He went from city to city, village to village, trying to stamp out the church. And many were imprisoned because of the Apostle Paul. Many of them were even put to death. There were those who suffered because Saul, who became Paul, was blinded to the gospel. Well, let's read about this. And this is his testimony before King Agrippa. And this is not the only place in the scripture that he shares this account. There's at least three times in the book of Acts that Paul gives the testimony of his conversion, what happened to him. Now, that's the recorded times in the scripture, but we know the times that he was chained to those centurions, those soldiers, and that he had many, many opportunities to tell people. So I would say it wasn't three times that he shared it. There are three accounts in the book of Acts, but he probably shared it on a regular basis. Every time he had the opportunity, he told people, "This is what happened to me. This is what happened to me." Acts 26:13. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, this lets me know that before this encounter that he has on the had on the road to Damascus, that the Spirit of God was already talking to him. This message where he says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And that was what they would do when they would move livestock and animals along. They would take a sharp stick or a rod, and they would poke them or prick them and to make them go on. And so he said the voice that he heard from the Lord speaking to him on the road to Damascus told him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. No doubt the Spirit of God was already pricking him, talking to him, dealing with him, and he was resisting it. He was rejecting that. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Praise God. So the voice of the Lord speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus was an irresistible encounter that he had with the Son of God. Now, not everybody has that kind of an encounter with God. But I do believe if the church, Christians, will pray that God would give to this generation that we're living in right now, to the 330, 40, however many, maybe 50 million people that live in this country. And it used to be that a large percentage of Americans believed in God and believed in the Bible, but that number is shrinking. It's going down, down, down. It's less than a third now of Americans who say that they believe in the God of the Bible. They believe that God's word is true, that they believe the Bible is the word of God. Less than a third now believe that it's true. What do they believe? Well, their minds are darkened. It's the God of this world that has darkened their minds, blinded them. They can't hear it, receive it. As a matter of fact, if they hear it, they make a mockery of it. If they hear it, they reject it and turn away from it. What they need is a spiritual awakening. And that's what Saul experienced on the road to Damascus, an awakening. That awakening so changed him, so enlightened his mind, so turned him around that he was immediately so turned around, such an out about face in his life, that the very thing that he was trying to destroy, he now becomes the strongest proponent of it. The greatest builder of the church. Amen. The greatest of the apostles. The greatest preacher. The very thing that he was trying to do, the only explanation is that he had this glorious encounter with Jesus, the Son of God. And I'm praying, Lord, give to us in America an awakening. Awaken the hearts of people that have been blinded in the darkness of their own selfishness and their own ways and that they would be awakened. Would you join with me in praying that God would give us an awakening? And we were here praying Sunday night, or maybe it was Monday night. I don't remember. I was praying about this, and I don't know. I just felt like that this weekend, with all of this prayer effort that's going on, there's going to be a jolt. There's going to be something that's going to happen. That God is going to do something. He's going to work mightily. And you know, what we have done is, I think a lot of people, because of the direction of our nation and all that's happening in our nation, we've allowed fear to control our thinking. We've allowed fear and concern about the future to really control our thinking, instead of understanding that God is a God who responds to the prayers of His people. You can't tell me that hundreds and thousands of people across this country praying will not make an impact upon our nation. It will. It will. And we can experience that, and we can believe that. And this time that we've spent in July and August and now in September, that we've spent in praying on Sundays and Mondays for these 3 months, it is not wasted time. It is worthwhile. It is valuable. And God hears and answers prayer, and He's working. And He will work. He will show Himself strong. So Paul had such an amazing awakening, such an amazing turnaround, that he was awakened, and then he gets a commission. Verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister." God reveals Himself to us because He wants to make something out of our lives. He wants to do something with us and use us. Amen. Now, Saul hated the church. He was an enemy of the church. He was a destroyer of the church. I'm telling you, he was a bad guy as far as the church was concerned, doing great damage to the church. And if God can turn him around and make him the strongest builder of the church, I want you to know what He can do with you is amazing. What He can do with anyone is an amazing and a wonderful thing when we realize that He can do great things. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things. That's why that Paul gave this testimony of his encounter on the Damascus Road over and over and over again. Both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. We know that Paul went to Arabia, according to the book of Galatians, for a space of about 3 years before he actually moved into full-time ministry. Not a lot that's said about it, but you can read about it in the book of Galatians, that he spent that time in the desert. And during that time, God was preparing him and revealing things to him. Where do you think that how did he become this greatest writer of Christian doctrine? All these books of the New Testament that he wrote, it came to him by revelation. It was the Spirit of God that brought to him by revelation his encounter with the Lord. 3 years in the Arabian desert, and then the start off that he started off in his ministry when he said, "Those things that I'm going to reveal to you, which I will appear unto thee." That's verse 16. Now verse 17. "Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes." So he was giving him his clear message, his clear calling. "I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, and I want you to go and preach to them, to see their eyes opened as well. I've given you an eye opener so that you can go and proclaim this message and open the eyes of others, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Praise God. He just took what he heard from the voice of the Lord and stepped forward in faith. And God began to use this great man who became Paul. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what are we praying for when we pray? Lord, send an awakening to our nation. Are we asking them to be a Republican or a Democrat or a political independent? Is that what we're praying for? Oh, no. We're praying that they will have an encounter with Jesus, that they will have an encounter with the Son of God, and that they will, their eyes will be opened, and their minds that are so darkened would be open to their need for God. There has to be a spiritual awakening. You've heard me talk about this, and I know many of you know more about it than I do, but we in America have some wonderful history of spiritual awakenings, at least three, maybe more, but at least three major awakenings in our country that turned the nation around, going in one particular direction, in decline, going away from God, and then God would speak and he would reveal his mighty power. That's what we need in these last days. That's what we must see happen in these last days. How does it happen? It happens as the result of a visitation of the Holy Ghost. It is a visitation of the Holy Ghost that awakens men to their need for God. Amen. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me, or expedient for you rather, that I go away. This is Jesus talking about his ascension into heaven, speaking to his disciples. If I go not away, the Comforter, and we know that's just one of the names for the Holy Ghost. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when, this is verse 8, John 16:8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Amen. What's it talking about? What is it talking about? It's talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our world. Whenever there is this visitation of the Spirit of God in a community, in a church, in a community, in a city, in a nation, as we're praying for this awakening to take place, when it does happen, then there will be this awakened sense of sinfulness. That's what he says. He will reprove the world of sin. That there will be an awakened sense of sin, that people will recognize, oh, I'm on the wrong path. Oh, I'm living a wicked life. Oh, my heart is far from God. And they'll realize it. They'll wake up and they'll have this awakened sense of their sinful condition. That's what we're praying for. Amen. Today, you can talk to a lot of people about the Lord. You have to talk to a lot of people before you find somebody that'll say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm lost. Almost everybody will say, well, yeah, I got saved 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I got saved. They can tell you, they can sing the gospel songs. They know a few scripture verses. They've had a past experience. And I don't deny that. But it's so far removed from their life that spiritually they are dead. They're spiritually asleep. And they have no interest in the things of God. Only an awakening sense of sin. But they'll recognize that they are in sin and that they need Jesus, a Savior. Amen. When he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the three-pronged message of conviction, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit that brings about this awareness of our sinfulness, and then it brings us into an understanding of what righteousness is. The Holy Ghost reveals what is righteous, that you'll know. A lot of people today, they don't know. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know the way to go. They don't have any sense of understanding as to that they're living their life far, far from God's purpose and God's will. The Holy Ghost will bring this sense of sinfulness, and the Holy Ghost will bring to them an understanding of what God says righteousness is. He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then there will also, along with this, will be this awareness that we all are going to stand before God one of these days. That we all will stand before God. We're all going to be judged. We're all going to stand in His presence. And that's what the convicting work of the Spirit of God will accomplish. It will awaken people in their sins. In Luke 15, the familiar story of the young man who went to his father and said, "I want my share. I want my share of my inheritance." And the Bible says he took it. He went into a far country and he wasted it. That's why that the word prodigal is not really a Bible term. We call him the prodigal because the word prodigal just means waster. Waster. That's what he was. He went into a far country and he wasted all of his inheritance. He spent it all. As long as he had money, he had plenty of friends. But when he spent it all, he had no money, and his friends had all left him. That's the way it goes, isn't it? That's the way it goes. The Bible says that a mighty famine came into the land, and he began to be in want. He began to be in need. And then the Bible says that he went to work, looking for a job, looking for a way to survive. And there he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. That's a phrase that is something that always strikes my mind and my heart. He's down as low as he can get, and no man gave to him. No one cared about the predicament that he was in. What happened? The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he had to get really low. He had to get to the very bottom where he thought no one cared. No one could come to his rescue. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, what was that? He woke up. In the pig pen, he woke up. In the pig pen, he realized, oh, in my father's house, even his servants, they have got a lot of bread, plenty to spare. And here I am starving to death. I'll just go back to my father's house, and I'll be one of the hired servants. Thank God for the awakening. Praise God. Thank God for the awakening, that he woke up. Thank God that God can speak to the hearts of people as we pray for our community and pray for our nation. And he can awaken people to their need for the Lord. Praise God. That's my prayer. And I pray for friends and loved ones, family that's not saved. And I've been praying, Lord, wake them up. Wake them up. Whatever you have to do, however you have to deal with them, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how sad the circumstances that they might be in, but Lord, you wake them up to their need for you, Lord. And he can do that. He can do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm praying, Lord, all across this nation, grant a spiritual awakening. When everybody is saying, doom and gloom. Come November, doom and gloom. and everything's going to fall apart, and the country's going to burn, and all this that's going to happen in November. I just think it's a wonderful thing to consider the fact that God wants to move in our darkest time of need. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So instead of November being a month of despair and hopelessness and everybody, you know, thinking it's going to be, you know, the end of the world, how about it be an awakening? How about the possibility of us praying and believing God to awaken our nation to their need for Him? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. And I know, Lord, that when the Spirit of God comes, Lord, that you will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Lord, that you will send conviction, Lord, that can sweep across this land as a result of churches and Christians and believers all over this nation who are praying and fasting and calling upon the name of the Lord. You can work, Lord. You can work, and we're believing you, Lord, to do just that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.